And today we receive understanding and wisdom and the accuracy in our minds. We are transformed as we preach and teach in Jesus' name. 1 Corinthians 12 and 7. I'll just read 1 and I'll read 7. 1 Corinthians 12, 1. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I will not have you ignorant. And so, it's a subject in scripture, you must not be ignorant. I say, the truth of the matter is that many people see visions, have revelations, minister the gifts of the Spirit, as it were, but they are not really knowledgeable. One of the ways you are going to know how a fellow is very knowledgeable about, when it comes to things of the Spirit, is how orderly he ministers the things of the Spirit. Because you see that in 1 Corinthians 14, Paul wrote about order, and that was where he said that those that are spiritual will acknowledge these things. So, orderliness is the first line of taking notes. Then secondly would be, of course, orderliness will come with effectiveness, the effective way by which you minister. For instance, you come to a congregation and you now speak in tongues and speak with tongues and then you don't interpret. Before the congregation, it shows that you are ignorant. It shows you are not knowledgeable. Another thing is that you come before a congregation, then you seem to have a vision and you don't know how that vision can readily be of a blessing. It shows again that you are not knowledgeable. We're going to see that again, how to communicate a vision. We're going to look at it. If you see something, maybe next week or the week after, if you see something, how do you communicate it? There are so many people that will say exactly what Peter said in Matthew 17. Say, Lord, let's build 3 tabernacles. One for you, one for Moses, and then one, for Elijah. And you can just see that that is the state of his mind. Now, as we're just still looking, it says, I will not have you ignorant. Now look at verse 4. Verse 4 says, but there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. Okay? And there are differences of administrations. He says, but the same Lord. He says, there are diversities of operations, it's the same God which worketh all in all. I've told you in camp meeting, when you say the Spirit, the Lord, and God, you are referring to one and the same in the new creation. So he says now in verse 7, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man properly. So the manifestation of the Spirit refers to the gifts, the ministries, and the operations. So when we look at the work of the Spirit, as we sing, leaving your Spirit till, or giving us your Spirit till, your work on earth is done. We're referring to the gifts, the ministries, and then the operations of the gifts in the ministries. That's what we're referring to. That is the manifestation of the Spirit. That's the summation of the things of the Spirit that you must not be ignorant of. That means every believer, imagine Paul is writing to what we can generally call the layman. And writing to the layman is informing him about gifts, is informing him about ministries, is informing him about the operations. Readily when you begin to talk like this and you say ministries, gifts, some people will say, well, that's Bible school. A theologian is somebody who studies the scriptures. And that's, Jesus was a theologian. Now, of course, sometimes we use the word theologian to sarcastically refer to those who are merely academicians with the Bible. But really, the general use of that word is for folks who study. Every teacher and preacher of God's word should be a theologian. 2 Timothy 2:15, it says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that need not be ashamed, right? Very well, through that word study is to be diligent, in your knowledge of the word. So, obviously, every Christian should be, and here is Paul saying, every Christian should know the gifts, every Christian should know the ministries, every Christian should know, the operations. Why? It says, because the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit from. So if there's something you must know the manifestation of the Spirit. That is, what has the giving of the Spirit, the indwelling of the Spirit, what has it presented to us as individuals? What has it given to us, you know, as individuals? You must know them. So that whenever you see, imagine Paul is writing, he said, if the, let the prophet speak by two or by three, later in chapter 14. Now, if you don't know what a prophet is, you can't receive the ministry of a prophet. If you don't know what a teacher, an apostle is, you'll just be hearing it. And some folks don't even know what an apostle is. Somebody was saying an apostle, somebody who has many churches under him. That's absolute nonsense. You don't know what an apostle is. You have to go and look at the Bible and let the scriptures explain what an apostle is. For instance, the 12 apostles did not have churches under them, but they were called apostles. So why would you say an apostle is somebody who has churches under him? That's a really, really wrong way of interpreting the scriptures. Now, so that means every believer must have intimate knowledge and insight about the things of the Spirit. It's not something we give to Bible school students. Really, Bible school students should be regular church members, and every church ought to be a Bible school. So to cut the long story or short story long, we now started to look at the gifts of revelation. We said the gifts of the Spirit are classified into three, from verse 8 to verse 10 of 1 Corinthians 12. We have the gift of utterance, where we have tongues, anything that primarily speaks. We have tongues, we have interpretation of tongues, and then we have the prophecy. Everything is to speak. Then we said, then there's a gift of revelation. We have the word of knowledge, the word of wisdom, and discerning of spirit. That deals with knowledge. The third group is the power gifts, where we have the gifts of healings, the workings of miracles, and then the gift of faith. Now we have zeroed in on the gifts of revelation. The gifts of revelation deal with knowledge. Knowledge is information. Now, you know, it's for clarity that Paul begins to teach you and says this is the word of knowledge, the word of wisdom, and all that. But see, when it comes to the flow of the Spirit in every believer, it's just by knowledge that you can separate these things, these activities. These activities are interwoven. For instance, somebody gets up and he speaks by the Spirit. The case of Agabus in Acts 11, he gets up and tongues and interpretation, already that is prophecy, tongues, interpretation, then he tells them there will be a famine in all the land. So he reveals something. Okay? Those are already four gifts of the Spirit in operation. So readily, you must know the things of the Spirit. So all those things just came to operation, you know, just about the same time. And when you read what Peter said in Acts 2, 17 and 18, he says, in the last days, said God, I will pour out of my Spirit upon all flesh. And he says, your sons and daughters shall prophesy. That's what he said. He says, your young men shall see visions, your old men shall dream dreams. Upon my servants and handmaidens will I pour out of my Spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy. So you see the word prophesy, you see the word visions, then it begins to talk about signs and then wonders. So you'll see that it's the outpouring of the Spirit, you know, Christ to men. So it's in the operations that we are now explaining the different activities of one outpouring to all of us. Are we together? Are we together? So really, it's in technicality we begin to explain, you know, the differences in these operations. But really, what every believer should know is that the manifestation of the Spirit is given to him. The manifestation of the Spirit. So when we talk about gifts of revelation, they deal with knowledge. That is, they say something to you. They show you something. You know, there's something to know. There's something to know, you know, about the gift of revelation. So we have the word of wisdom. I will start from the word of knowledge. The word of knowledge is to say a word of fact. facts. That's what it means. Facts are shown to you. When you say fact, you mean a place, a thing, an event, an activity. That's the word of knowledge. The word is where you get fragments, a piece of something. So you have the word of knowledge, which shows you facts. You will see people, or you will hear people, or you will know people, places, things will be seen. Then you have the word of wisdom, which is counsel, where an instruction is given. An instruction is passed across, or an information to guide you is passed across. Then you have, not in verse 8 now, but in verse 10, the discerning of spirits, where you view, you perceive. Discerning of spirits means to perceive spirits. I'll explain that in a moment. To view, to perceive spirits. Now, the expression of that is that when you hear discerning of spirits, you come back to spirits. There are two ways you can view that. When you have spirits written in Bible, you either are referring to individuals, spirit personalities, or you are referring to spirits as touching activities of spirit personalities. So either way, you are still referring to spirit personalities, but either as people personalities or events that, you know, they carry out. So it's either or both. But let's look at the angle of spirit personalities. When you have spirit personalities, number one, you're referring to man. Man is a spirit created in the image of God. Man definitely is a spirit. 1 Thessalonians 5:13 says, the God of peace sanctify you wholly, spirit and your soul and your body. So man is a spirit. 1 Peter 3:3-4, Romans 2:29. Man is a spirit. Genesis 1:26-27. God is a spirit. And the Bible says that that's John 4:23, and man is in the image of God. Genesis 1:26-27. Now, angels are spirits. Now, I didn't say the sign of spirits is to discern the spirit of God. I'm going to be a bit technical there, so just be a bit relaxed. Listen well now. The issue now will be angels now. When you say angels, I will classify demons with angels because I taught you about that. So you have angels, and that will involve the angels of God, and then the angels of Satan. Why? Because angels are also spirits. Hebrews 1:6-7. Hebrews 1:14. They are called ministering spirits, sent forth to minister to them who are heirs of salvation. Now, when you talk about discerning of spirits, discerning man as a spirit, that will go into the activities of the spirit of man. But I would just say this, that involves Jesus, because Jesus presently occupies the status and state of a man. It's called the man Christ Jesus, 1 Timothy 2:5-6. It's called the man, Hebrews 10, you read from 10-13 about Jesus. He's a man, John 1:14, he died a man, he rose a man, and that's a man. He sits at the right hand of the Father as a man. Psalm 110:1, 1 Corinthians 15:25-26 shows that he's a man seated. So we discern Jesus, and we also discern men. Write this, the church, and the unbelieving world. The church, an unbelieving world. The sign of spirits gives us information about the church and then the unbelieving world. About Jesus, he's a man. The church, men. The unbelieving world, men. Now, angels, of course, angels and demons. So, in Revelation, you have encounters with angels, demons. You have man, of course. And now, for example, you wonder what it means by men. And look at the instance of when Jesus said, he knew the thoughts of their heart, things that they were thinking. Now, the spirit of man is hidden in the body of man. You cannot hear his word except spoken. So where those words are not spoken and you hear the thoughts of a man, that is discerning what the spirit of a man. Are we together? Alright, good. Now, look at it. I'll talk about God and I'll be a bit technical. Can we discern God? Well, it's a little bit technical. Like I said, maybe I should just leave it tonight. Because in the dispensation that we are, God is in Christ Jesus. And that's a little bit technical, right? God is in Christ Jesus, and the Spirit of God, the Spirit of Christ, the Spirit of the Son of God, you know, dwells in every man that is born again. We have the manifestation of the Spirit. I'll just say regularly that the discerning of God is in the Scriptures, is in the Word. And that's a bit technical, really. Let me just leave that. But basically, so in the sign of spirit, you will discern man, you will discern angels, and you discern... Alright, let me leave it. You discern God. But I'll say you discern God in similitudes. In similitudes. That is, in semblances, images. And imageries. Imageries. You write the word imageries better. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. It's not expedient, verse 1, for me doubtless to glory, I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. Now, one man is saying he has visions and revelations of the Lord. Visions, he said, and revelations. That's why in verse 7 he said he has the abundance of the revelations. So revelations can be abundant. Abundance of revelation. When you look at the Acts of the Apostles, whether you read chapter 2, you will see revelations in chapter 2. When you read chapter 5, you will see revelation and Ananias and Sapphira's case. When you read chapter 6, and then chapter 7, you read about Stephen. Revelation chapter 8, you will see the man Philip had revelation. God spoke to him. Chapter 9, you read about Saul of Tarsus. Chapter 10, you read about, first of all, Cornelius, unbelieving man, and you read about Peter. Chapter 11, you read about Agabus. Chapter 12, you read Peter was delivered from the prison. Chapter 13, Paul and Silas and Barnabas. Just read on and on. You just see revelation in different places. And showing you the part and parcel of the church. 16, 17, 18, Paul saw Jesus, you know, 19. You read about 20, 21. You know, just see revelation. So, whenever you see the activities of the church, whatever we see as the activities of the church, obviously came via individuals. And that means that individuals can have access to abundance of visions and abundance of revelations. Well, together, can we say amen to that? Now look at verse 2. Now Paul says in chapter 12, verse 2, 2 Corinthians, I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago, we cleared that last week, whether in the body or out of the body, okay, I cannot tell, or whether out of the body, I cannot tell, God knoweth, and I such one caught up to the third heaven. Now, that word caught up already explains to us that it was what? A vision will be what? If it's a vision, will it be in the body or out of the body? Don't get lost. If it's a vision, will it be in the body or out of the body? Huh? Now, to be caught up to the third heaven, will be to physically leave the body, right? And then you are dead, and then the spirit of man is in heaven. 2 Corinthians 5. I went that through all that last week, so don't take me through any torture tonight. Alright? Alright. We'll be taken up to heaven. And so we said that in this instance, Paul was taken for dead, and that's what we can readily sanctified mind agree that is the Acts 14 experience, where it appeared he was dead. He was actually taken out of the city for dead. So he said he did not say, you know, he saw, he said he heard words unspeakable, which is not, you know, lawful for a man to utter. And when you read further down, you spoke about revelations and not visions. Now, we see a man like that, Stephen, who was being stoned at the point of death, he saw Jesus, okay, which was a vision, right? But his body was intact and his spirit was what? Intact. Come on, guys, are we together here? Are we together? His body was intact and then his spirit obviously was intact. So when it comes to a vision, it has to be with your body. Your body is right intact. It cannot be in heaven. Your body is right there intact. Now, when you hear cut off to the third heaven, you now ask a question. When Philip, for instance, let's see Stephen, Acts 8. Acts of the Apostles, chapter 7. And when they heard these things, they were cut to the heart and they gnashed on him with their teeth. And being full of the Holy Ghost, they looked up steadfastly. He looked also into heaven. Now, that means he looked up. I mean, in vertically, physically, he looked up. You know, that is as, I mean, he was not down yet. He was about stoning. So he looked up like this. And when he looked up, the Bible says, and he saw the glory of God, okay, and Jesus standing on the right hand of God. And he said, behold, I see the heavens opened, and the Son of Man, notice what he called him, standing on the right hand of God. So, he saw heaven. Now, did he leave the earth? Huh? But he saw heaven opened. So, a vision is seen where? In the body. Why? 1 Corinthians 12, 11. All this worketh the one and selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. Dividing to every man severally as he will. So, it comes by the gifts of the Spirit resident in a man. So it's caused to see something, you know, beyond the earth realm. So in seeing a vision, your body is intact. And that's why Paul's dilemma in 2 Corinthians had to do with the kind of experience that he had. That's why, you know, we could conclude it was Acts 14 experience when he was stoned and taken for dead and he got up from the dead. And you look at it again, that was an example of persecutions, because where in chapter 11 into chapter 12, you discover he was discussing persecutions. So, that experience, you know, can be reliably seen among the persecutions that he had. And that persecution, Acts 14, was when he was stoned, you know, in Asia. Are we together tonight? Alright. So, when there's a vision, your body is intact. But sometimes you have a feeling that you have left the earth. And that feeling oftentimes comes from your mind. That feeling comes from the mind. Because the mind has not been well taught. So you have a feeling, whenever there is a vision, now look up guys, and then you have a feeling of unconsciousness, it's the state of your mind. When your mind is well taught and informed, you will not have a state of unconsciousness. You won't feel like you're unconscious. That shows spiritual maturity in the things of the Spirit. So, I write this. Every vision definitely is discerning of spirits. Every vision is discerning of spirits. Because you will see something readily. And information is passed across to you. Here is Stephen. I saw the Son of God standing. That is a fact. At the right hand of God, that's the throne of God, the glory of God, that is a fact. So in a vision, you should reliably have the word of knowledge or the word of wisdom or both. Now, this is for later years. Oh, sorry, later time. If you look at the gifts of utterance, one of them is vehicle. Prophecy is what? Vehicle. If you look at the gifts of Revelation 2, it appears that the sending of spirits is a vehicle. Now, let me ask, where you see the gifts of power, which one is a vehicle? Just leave it like that. We'll talk about it. So, the Holy Spirit happens to be like the vehicle where we hear and perceive the things of the Spirit. What we get is word of knowledge or word of wisdom. Do you understand? Prophecy will speak out. Either, you know, what we get in because this is information, what we get is either the word of knowledge or the word of wisdom. Let me give you a clear example. In Acts 2, another example, pardon me. They were all seated in one place, and there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. So whoever wrote it heard something. You would have heard it outside, and it filled all the house. So a sound is a descending of spirit. Okay? Then he saw cloven tongues as of fire, and it sat. So he actually saw individuals, and he saw cloven tongues sitting. Very clear description on each of them. But you know the funny thing about that vision. Write this, please. You won't know the meaning. What was the sound for? What was the cloven tongues for? So, even a fact revealed to you does not bring understanding in clarity. Let's look at another vision. Acts 9. Acts 9, Ananias, a brother, verse 10, and there was a certain disciple, this was after Saul of Tarsus' experience in the Damascus, named Ananias, and to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias, say, behold, I am here, Lord. Now, look at that instance. Look up now. How did he know it was Jesus? That's word of knowledge. Today people see Jesus, right? Paul saw Jesus. Were they giving him, were they using Bluetooth to send Jesus' picture all over the place? No. But Ananias knew, just like Paul, we're going to see later, said, this is Jesus. Now you can say, well, I thought it's very easy to know it's Jesus. No. It will take the word of knowledge to know it is Jesus. Luke 24. His disciples were walking. Somebody now walks with them, and he begins to talk to them, and he spoke with them extensively. Extensively, and they chatted with him. Okay? And then it came to pass as they communed with him, you know, verse 15, and their eyes were open that they did not know him. They couldn't see with their physical eye. They couldn't get it. And so he spoke with them. Luke 24. And when he was done teaching them, and they restrained him, they abide with us, and he spoke and spoke and spoke and spoke. And as he took bread and broke it and gave to them, their eyes were opened and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. And I ask you, was that a vision? Was that a vision? Now, Philip appeared to the Enoch from nowhere. No car brought him. He didn't walk there. He did, actually. He got to a place and said, join yourself to this chariot. The Holy Spirit spoke to him. Then he heard that. Then when he saw, the Enoch was still about to get out of the water. Oh, where are you? And he was out of his sight. Was he dead? No. So, whatever happened in Luke 24, can be said to be similar to Acts 8. Let me see another fellow I'm saying here now. Alright. Now the question is, can you say Acts 8 was a vision? Why? Do you have to see dead people? We said the spirit of man. Okay? If you can see the spirit of man, now if you are going to see the spirit of man is a spirit, and you are going to see man, and the man who is a spirit is in a physical body, you are going to see both. So is your mind working? Luke 24, was it a vision? Was Jesus alive? The next time he saw them, he said, bring fish and bread. I'm not a spirit, you know what I mean? But they saw him and he vanished. And Philip did exactly the same thing. He didn't appear to them. He walked with them. He must have gotten there just like you and I will get there. But he vanished just like Philip. And he didn't see him again. So, is that a vision? Yeah. Okay, that's not even the point. The point is, they didn't know it was him. They couldn't see him, you know, that it was him. But in this case, Ananias, we're not sure, was one of the 120. We're not sure, was one of the 12. Actually, he was not one of the 12, one of the 120. Was not one of the 70. But one clear fact is that we're going to read about Paul, who was not any of those folks, who did not know Jesus. Are you following what I'm saying? But he saw Jesus and he knew it was Jesus. So it's by word of knowledge. In case you have had encounters where you saw Robert Powell, you know Robert Powell, or the guy that acted Passion of the Christ, and after so much watching that movie, you now saw that person. That's a word from knowledge. Are we together now? Aha. Anyway. But Pastor, he saw Jesus. Yes. They saw Jesus. So Revelation chapter 1. So that you know that it takes the word of knowledge to know you saw Jesus. I have had the case, you know, I'm correct, I think that was 94. I met a lady, so, you know, she came from the Kerosene and Seraphim setup, where I used to see all creatures, animals, dogs, fly, mosquitoes, you know. So she just told me she had a vision, and she said she saw Jesus. And as she was speaking, I knew by revelation she did not see Jesus. But it was very difficult, because you cannot start telling her, you see, you didn't tell, because she saw something. So I waited. The way I was able to conquer that, because when I heard the things that the Jesus said to her, it was always on Robert Powell, you know, or Joseph Oyigbo. So I stayed and I taught her the scriptures for 3 months. And then she said with her mouth, she said, bro, I did not see Jesus. I said, I knew on the onset. That's why I took you through all this. So people assume you see somebody who is white, who wears white. You know, how would you be wearing white for how many years? How many years you want to wear white and then wear overall? I mean, it's going to, that kind of cloth should have something. You can see a Jesus with jeans. See M-shirt. You can, you know, just. So I don't want to go there, but look at John. I mean, so that you understand what I'm saying. You know, I, John, verse 9, I am your brother, also your brother and companion in tribulation by God. In the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ was in the isles, the score partners for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus. That means he was persecuted. I was in the spirit on the Lord's day. Okay? I was in the spirit. That word, in the spirit, is the Greek word ginomai. It means to become. That is like, as though I shifted attention. It's not like, I was in the spirit, I was dropped in the spirit. I shifted attention. That is my focus, you know, on the Lord's day. And I heard behind me, now watch this, a great voice as of a trumpet. You didn't hear a trumpet. I heard a great voice. So when he heard the great voice, saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last, who thou seest write in the book, and send into the 7 churches which are in Asia, unto Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamos, Thessalonica, Sardis, Philip. These are facts. So that's what? Word of knowledge. And I turned to see the voice that spake to me, and behold, turned, I saw 7 golden candlesticks. And in the midst of the 7 candlesticks, one like unto us, unto the Son of Man, a human being, clothed with a garment down to the foot, girt with the paps and a golden girdle. His head and ears were white like wool. Now, you and I know this was not what Mary Magdalene saw. Are we together? Aha. And as white as snow, his eyes were as a flame of fire, and his feet like unto brass. That was what he saw. And now, the point is, this description, him saying he's like a Son of Man, was an afterthought. Listen well now. And if the born in the furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. Now, if that was what, you know, I don't think this was not what Ananias saw. And this is certainly what not they saw in Acts, when, I mean, Luke 24. You know, I mean, if you have said that, say, oh Lord, you like worshipped him straight. You know. Now, watch this now. And he had in his right hand 7 stars. Out of his mouth went a sharp 2-edged sword. You know what I'm talking about here now. Are you following this? And his countenance as the sunshine in his strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet. Anybody will fall at his feet. You see that early in the morning, you will fall down or you run. He laid his hand upon me and he said, fear not, I am the first and the last. So Jesus had to tell him who he was. So there was revelation. This is what you are seeing. So, in any vision, don't assume. Tell your neighbor, say, don't assume. Don't say, I saw Jesus. You could have seen your dead uncle, you know, appear to you because you watch horror films. And they said, it is the Lord. So, one thing that's clear is a vision comes from the Lord, is that you will know. You will know. Ananias knew it was the Lord. John knew it was the Lord. Paul knew it was the Lord. But you will not have the same picture anywhere, because you see all these films you are watching, all these movies, nothing, I mean, it's just like somebody trying to draw your great-great-great-great-grandfather. You know, you just get it wrong. There's no picture of Jesus. So whatever we say about Jesus today will only be known by revelation. Let me see if you understand what I'm saying here. It's not going to be, there's no picture of Jesus, you know, that you see. You know, people have said all sorts. I've heard people say that his hands still have the nails that you see his hands and then you see his legs also. Like, in fact, he still has a sandal that is like of those days. He has girdle, even though we are using belt now, that he has a garment, even though we are using shirts. So you now wonder, well, people think that there's a King James spirit realm, that you just have to see a King James vision. You understand what I'm saying? So, People oftentimes have that kind of problem. But you see, look at this. I said, you will just know. Acts 18. Paul had never seen Jesus before. But in Acts 18, he said, and spake the Lord to Paul in the night by vision, be not afraid, Acts 18:9, but speak, and hold not your peace, for I am with you, and no man shall set on thee to hurt thee, for I have much people in this city. So, you will just know. Now go back to Acts 9, you will just know it's the Lord. Pastor, what if I don't know? Well, I don't know. I don't know how to say that because you're supposed to be born again. Hallelujah. Well, you now see the one who saved you and you couldn't know it's him. And I don't know. You should have known. But I saw somebody, he was just gisting me. And he didn't reveal himself to you. He did not. I don't know. Like I said, I don't know. There are some things that are beyond man. Like Paul said, whether in the body or out of the body, I can't tell. Maybe those things you are hearing are unlawful for any man to utter, even God. Now see this. He says, arise, an instruction, go onto the street that is called straight. Now that's a word of knowledge. The street that is called, are you talking about Demala? The street that is called, give me your street name. Huh? Ojo Elegba, you know. And inquire in the house of Judah, specific instruction. For one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he prays. An activity you will never have known except you saw it. Behold, he prays. And he has seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him. So you can see, Paul had also seen in a vision, he discerned a man, that is spirit, you know, seen in a man. Look at those things. Saul was mentioned, he prayeth, he has seen in a vision, go thy way, I will show him. Now look at verse 15, go your way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel, and I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. Look at that. That's a vision that has the word of knowledge, the word of wisdom, and the discerning of spirits. He saw Jesus. Okay, he heard Jesus, and information that was happening or had happened was given to him, the word of knowledge. Then what was going to happen was told to him, the word of wisdom. Let me see your hand very well. That's a clear vision. And listen well, visions are self-explanatory. They are self-explanatory. Now, do we have instances where we can have only a revelation and not a vision? Obviously. And we heard a sound from heaven. That's not a vision. Acts 2:2. Acts 8, Philip. And the angel of the Lord spoke unto Philip, saying, arise and go thy way. Sorry, to the south. Acts 8:26. Verse 29, then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join yourself to this chariot. So he had a revelation that was not from a human being, but he did not see anything. So you can hear, you can have a revelation without seeing anything. Acts 9, Paul, as Saul of Tarsus, he saw light, right? He didn't see Jesus, but he heard the words of Jesus. That's a revelation. So you can hear. You can hear, but not see. The same way we saw about Agabus when he revealed to the church by utterance. That's to hear, but there was no vision explained. Now, when you see a vision, Acts 10, Cornelius' instance, where, again, Cornelius in Acts 10 saw an angel clearly. That angel he saw clearly, the ninth hour, evidently Acts 9:3, and he told him what to do. He said to him, sent men to Joppa, there's somebody called Simon, you know. So that's a vision that had a word of knowledge. There's somebody somewhere, his name is Simon. They had not met, they were not known to one another. And he says, he lodged in one house, tell him, he will tell you the things to do. You know, at the point when, you know, this was being said, Peter had not even seen any vision whereby he was told what he will tell, you know, Cornelius. But in that vision, Cornelius had already seen that Peter, had already seen that Peter was just that. So that's a vision. Now Peter's case also, he saw four-footed beasts come from heaven. You read that from verse 10, Acts 10. Peter rise, kill and eat. So he saw, he heard. And it says, what God hath cleansed, do not call uncommon. In verse 15, he saw, he heard. Then he got an instruction, a word of wisdom. A word of knowledge, a word of wisdom altogether. Now, as he was thinking in verse 19, what he saw in the vision, the Spirit said unto him, behold, three men seek thee. See that there's a vision, then you have a revelation without a vision. Let me see if you understand that well. So, there can be a revelation without a vision, but you cannot have a vision without a revelation. A vision or revelation, I wrote here, is a driving force of vision. That is, the reason for a vision is to hear something or see something. Peter saw clearly. Clearly. He saw clearly four-footed beasts come down from heaven. So, he heard a voice. Rise, Peter, kill and eat. Three times. Three times. And this voice now added, what God has cleansed, don't call uncommon. So, a revelation is there. Don't call unclean what God has cleansed. So, we have seen, now this is where I'm going, there's a discerning spirit, there's a word of knowledge, there's a word of wisdom. Now listen, yet Peter begins to wonder, what does this mean? So the mind of Peter comes to question. Here he is told something under the law he must not eat. He's told to eat it. So he's now asking, God said, whatever I have cleansed, don't call uncommon. So he's doubting. When did God cleanse these things and he made them ready for us to eat? Obviously, a fairer understanding will let you see he's talking about Gentiles. But by the way of annulling a practice of the Old Testament. Are we together now? Annulling a practice of the Old Testament. That vision, we can sit down and explain a lot of things. It brings to an end. It lets you know that an end has been brought to the Old Testament. Because this will never survive the Old Testament. But yet Peter now begins to wonder, what have I seen? Now, as he wandered on, in verse 17, in our head, behold, three men seek thee, and all that, in verse 19. Arise therefore, get down, and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them. Now listen well, doubting nothing, for I have sent them. So Peter goes to the house of Cornelius. Cornelius had been told that Peter will come to preach Jesus to them. So Cornelius tells Peter, I sent men to tell Peter. Peter has now been told that this man will tell you what to do.
So look at Peter's level of understanding. Now here he is. He's going to the house of Gentiles. Now I want you to listen carefully to what I'm going to say now. Against his conviction, scripturally. Now, but he's yet going in faith because he's persuaded he heard from God. So he steps into the house for being under the law. Then he begins to preach. God is no respecter of persons, based on what he saw. See his mind working. So he begins to preach. And he says, you know, God sent his son to Israel. How God raised Jesus of Nazareth. Then he preaches. Now his preaching, his words, show you Peter's understanding was very fickle. By Acts 11, he explained what he saw. He says in verse 12, the Spirit bade me go with them, nothing doubting. Moreover, these six brethren accompanied me away to the man's house. And he showed us how he had seen an angel in his house, Acts 11, 13. We stood and said unto him, send men to Joppa and call for Simon, whose son name is Peter. And at my time, he spoke those things, he knew that this was a confirmation, which I tell thee was, whereby thou and all your house shall be saved. So Peter got instructions from the vision to preach. But you know something, and when we look at this technically, we'll know that from Mark 16, Matthew 28, Jesus told Peter, all nations, all creatures. So a vision steps in spite of his understanding of that instruction. We'll look at the, you know, that much later. As I began to speak, verse 15, the Holy Ghost fell on them as on us at the beginning. And I look at how they concluded. And they said, well, God has granted the Gentiles repentance unto life. Now, I mean, look at how much value visions can be when you are not knowledgeable. Verse 19. And David was carried abroad upon the persecution that rose about Syria, traveled as far as Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch, preaching the word to none but unto the Jews only. So the mind is key. His mind had not been renewed in the word. So he just saw it as a spectacular occurrence. But look at all he saw. Paul wrote it by understanding the scriptures. Ephesians 3. How that verse 3, the revelation made known unto me, by revelation, he made known unto me, talking about God, the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words, whereby, Ephesians 3, 4, when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. When it's used the word knowledge, that refers to insight in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known to the sons of men, but is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of the promise in Christ by the gospel. Now this is clear. Colossians 1, 27. Aside from 25, whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God which is given to me for you, to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery which had been hid from ages and from generations, and now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God will make known what is the riches of the glory of his mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. So here is Paul saying what all of them did not see. By Acts 15, look at the apostles in Acts 15.
You know what we're saying basically? If your mind is not renewed and you see a vision, you are going to act like that. If you are not taught God's word and you see a vision, you are going to act that way. You are still going to... A vision does not change you. It doesn't change what level of knowledge of God's word you have. Let me see and get that. It doesn't change it. It doesn't change that. What changes your mindset is revelation knowledge. Acts 15. In Acts 15, now, they were a bit better. You know, James, the pastor, gave an instruction. Why? Because he said, to this agree, verse 15, you can check that later, the words of the prophet as is written, you know, he now was quoting Acts 15, 16, Amos 9, 11, 12, how that God said he would grant, you know, it will, his name will be named among the Gentiles and all that. So this agrees with it. So the scriptures will now, they now address the scriptures to confirm what Peter said. But that just helped them a bit, because you see that afterwards James just said, well, I give no sentence, don't eat strangled animals. Now, why would he say don't eat strangled animals? Again, he said don't eat pollutions of idols, don't eat animals. So again, they refer back to what the law. You can see that in spite of everything, the teaching of God was surpassed vision's revelation. You know, they still said strangle with animals, you know, meat offered to idols and all that. And it says, you know, for Moses of old time had, you know, read them on every Sabbath day, and they all said, okay, it's okay, it's okay. Well, and you see, I like what Paul just said, it's pleased all of us. You know, sometimes look, don't go beyond the, don't argue people beyond their knowledge. Don't say, no, which one are you mentioning again? You just keep katakata. Say, which one is most of us idols? Which one is strangled animals? And they'll start palaver. At least they have agreed you can preach to Gentiles. Just go. Don't do what man. And say, excuse me, can I fault Apostle James there? The Greek word for, there's no point. At least something has brought unity to all of you. At least we all agree that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. We all agree that, you know, his blood is shed, his blood is redemption. Let's just go. At least you agree. Thank you. Let's go. Don't say, because it's not every, these are people who have seen visions over a space of time. And they are still saying, clearly what Peter said, that don't call uncommon that which are cleansed. And they are still saying, there is still a meat that is uncommon. Would God use a lie to explain the truth? Would it mean that God is still saying, there are some things you cannot eat, but I'm just using this to explain Gentiles? That's using a lie to speak the truth. The truth is that you can eat anything. And the fact also is that I can save anyone. So that shows you the reason why they were not supposed to eat certain beasts in the Old Testament was a type and a shadow of the fact that the Gentiles were not in the commonwealth of promise. That's all. Are we together? Good. So your mind is key. How did Paul come to know that the Gentiles will receive salvation? Romans 15. Verse 8. And I say that Jesus Christ was the minister of the circumcision for the truth of God, to confirm the promises made unto the fathers, and that the Gentiles may glorify God for his mercy, for it is written. So, how do you know? It is written. You will say, Paul said, Jesus told me. You see, that's the insult I get when I respect when I say, Jesus told me. Don't tell us Jesus told you. Jesus cannot sit anybody down to teach him doctrine. You have to sit down and study the scriptures. Galatians 3, how did Paul know? Galatians 3 again. Where it's about Abraham and the Gentiles, verse 8, the scriptures foreseen that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all the nations be blessed. So clearly, Paul's understanding was from the scriptures. And you can see it was superior to every vision. Do you know that? Look up now. Look up, guys. in all of Paul's visions and revelations that we have seen. So all of Paul's visions. You know, when you hear the word revelation, revelation does not mean gifts of the Spirit, stricto sensu. It means it also deals with knowledge of God's word. But when you hear, now when you look at Paul, Paul's insight was not based on the visions he saw. If anybody ought to have known the Gentiles should be saved, it ought to have been Peter. But Peter's mindset was based on the amount of revelation knowledge that he had. The long and short of what I'm saying is that visions and revelations do not communicate scriptures to you. They can point you to go and study scriptures, but they don't communicate scriptures to you. Peter tried. In 1 Peter 2, he quoted from Hosea, and he said, "You're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, you know, which were not a people, are now the people of God." That's quoting from Hosea. So, write this. The lowest level of revelation is to see persons and symbols. The highest level is to understand. That is where revelation knowledge of God's word is the highest level. The lowest level is to see people, see places, see things, see Jesus, see God, see spirits, see angels, see demons. But you know, you don't have to see a demon to know a demon activity. Okay? The highest level is to understand. The word understand, apithemi, in the Greek means to have a full view of something and to be able to explain it. Look at the book of Revelation. A book of symbols, types. Death is seen on a horse. Satan is seen as a dragon. You will just get confused. Jesus is seen as a lamb. You see fire, thunder, sword, candles. When you read the book of Revelation, you will understand nothing. I know some of the eschatologists would not like what I've just said now. Understanding will only come when you fully look through the scriptures. The book of Revelation is like a typical Old Testament material, however, happened in the New Testament era. Now, imagine John. Apostle John. The man that wrote 1 John, 2 John, 3 John. You know, John said that every spirit that does not confess that just come in the flesh is the Antichrist. I mean, inside. John wrote about eternal life. John said, we have, look at, you know, John said, he said, we have, the Son of God has come to give us understanding that we may know God. And the same John now has to be told, I am Jesus. Are you following what I'm saying here? The same John, who, now look at John in Revelation 19:10. John said, as he is, so are we. As he is, so are we. We are sons of God. He said, we are of God. But when it came to vision, Revelation 19:10, John now saw an angel. You know, he fell down at the feet of Jesus in Revelation 1. When he saw that vision of Jesus, Bible says he fell down. Now look at Revelation 19:10. Okay, I'll start from verse 6. And I heard as it were the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thunderings, saying hallelujah, for the Lord God will be put it in it. Let us be glad and rejoice. Verse 7. And give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife has made herself ready. See, all these words are symbolical. Verse 8. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, and clean and white, for the white fine linen is the righteousness of saints. And he said unto me, write, these are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said unto me, these are the true saints of God. And I fell at his feet to worship him. And he said, are you listening now? See, thou do it not, for I am thy fellow servant. I am one of your servants and of your brethren that have the testimony of Jesus, worship God, The testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Can you see that? Yeah, this is the person who saw it. He could not discern things. He was the one who wrote it. This is in chapter 19. The book ends in chapter 22. And here he is. He can't even comprehend what's going on. Paul says we must not worship angels. Colossians 2. Colossians 2, 19, 20 and 21. Ephesians 3 verse 10 says that angels learn from the church. 1 Peter 1, 13 and 14 says angels desire to look into the gospel. And this is a man. You know, Hebrews 1, 14 says they are sent to minister to the heirs of salvation. And then he's falling down. Why? Because he has seen a big image. So the book of Revelation is just a typical example. So seeing something is the lowest level of revelation. It is to understand that is the highest level. Look at Revelation 1. So now write this. So that means you don't understand by sight. You don't understand by sight. What he said to the seven churches, they were real churches. I went into the names and symbols. Those ones need understanding. Seven candlesticks. And they need to be understood. And you see, this is where you get 666 and all these things. The number of a man. And you need to be on, they need to be understood. But people rather take the book of Revelation and then form an understanding of things, and you'll be confused. For instance, the Old Testament, like I said, is like Old Testament and the New Testament. 2 Timothy 2:15, study to yourself approved, a workman that need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. You must look at it and have that Christocentric interpretation. Luke 24, 26, 27, John 5, 39, 40, the scriptures testify of Jesus, and that goes again to every vision. It says, the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of every prophecy. Testimony of Jesus is the spirit of every prophecy. So everything must be tested by the substance of Jesus. For example, that issue of Lamb of God. John 1, 29. Interesting, the two Johns like using Lamb. John, the Baptist, said the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the whole world. John says the same thing. Now, Lamb is what? It's symbolic. Alright? But when you get to understanding, you don't call him a lamb. You call him what? Our sacrifice. The sacrifice. The substitute of man. Rather than use the word Lamb of God, you call him, he was made sin for us. That's understanding. Rather than use lamb, you say he died for us. Rather than use lamb, you say he was crucified on our behalf. Rather than use lamb, you use the fact that he is the propitiation for our sins. So those that use Lamb of God really are walking in sense knowledge. He is not a lamb. The word lamb is diminutive. It's used to express, you know, one thing that Jesus did. Hallelujah. Uh-huh. You only get that in a vision. John the Baptist, Lamb of God, that was communicated by vision. And then you get that from John the Apostle, the book of Revelation. Let me see how you are following me here now. Get that. Okay. So visions come in handy. Now you can readily, you know, you can say, well, that means visions are not necessary and all that. That's stupid. Visions come in handy. Now what I've said so far, if you are intelligent, because I know you are, is to relate visions and revelations to doctrine, to the understanding of scriptures. Where they come in handy is direction in affairs of life. They come in handy. Acts 10, for instance. Three men seek you. Go and do so and so to Gentiles. A clear example is Acts 18. There is Paul, there's persecution, and Jesus says to him, don't go anywhere. I'm with you. Don't be afraid. I'll stand with you, for I have men in this city, okay, that helped him. He brought direction to him. And Ananias, for instance, in Acts 9, he brought direction to him. Go to somebody's house, minister to him. So it comes in handy in ministry and certain activities that we do in ministry. Acts 27, this one is very instructive. In case you think that you have gone ahead of vision and revelation, this is Paul, after writing many epistles. Okay? Here is Paul, traveling to Rome, and then, just like we do, he perceived something from his spirit. And the way his mind picked it up. And you have to understand, sometimes when you're under pressure, or you're under persecution, your mind is working, you are distressed. Paul said he was distressed. He was obviously distressed. He said he was persecuted but not forsaken. He was despaired, he even despaired of life. That he saw himself like, am I going to die the next minute? And therefore, the state of his mind, you know, occasioned why knowing something, because we know that when it comes to the Old New Testament, what we know in our spirit, you know, supersedes visions and revelation. I mean, visions. But this happens that Paul, you know, wrongly interprets that perception. Verse 10, Acts 27. I perceive that this voyage will be hurt and much damage, not only of the laden and ship, but also of our lives. So, he had perceived something, which, you know, was not correct. Something was going to happen. It was going to destroy things. But Paul now included people's lives. That was an error, which can happen to anybody at any stage of your Christian walk. Let me understand what I'm saying here. It can happen to anybody. Now, here is the point. You know, and then God intervenes. And then, just like he would. And after long abstinence, I thought this fulfill your destiny in God. Where I said, you know, he didn't just sit down somewhere. After fasting, you can see that Paul was prayerful, he fasted. And then the Bible says that he said to them, sirs, you should have hearkened unto me and not have loosed from Crete, verse 21, and to have gained this harm and loss. Now I exhort you therefore, be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, only of the sheep. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am, whom I serve, saying, fear not for Paul, you must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God has given thee all them that are saved with thee. So he says that every other thing will be destroyed, but us only. So that perception, you know, he got it wrong, but that vision came to clarify what he seemed to have perceived. So oftentimes like that, visions will happen to us to help us out. You know, where we, you know, sometimes you sense something in ministry and you're not sure, you have even concluded things, sometimes by vision of the night, sometimes by angel coming to you, sometimes, you know, by dream, then, you know, coming as a vision, it will be clear to you. And you know exactly it's relating to an instruction you have given in church yesterday, something you have said yesterday, to just clear everything and you just, you know, see it, you know, very well. So that comes in very handy. He missed God, but things now cleared it. So he had to, you know, so it's like God's lowest level of communicating to us. You know, when sometimes, you know, by pressure, life's issues, you know, your mind is not exactly working. I mean, if you are taking it somewhere and there's storm and all that, you know, don't start acting super speedy as some people do, and that's really canal. So sometimes it comes in for direction. But notice, it's not for doctrine. When it comes to doctrine, you have to read all the scriptures. Agabus, for instance, in Acts 11, there's no way you read in the Bible and you read that there will be death in all the world. But you will know the Bible teaches us that we can receive revelation of things to come. So Agabus stands up in Acts 11 and says, look, in all of Rome and all of Roman Empire, there will be famine. I mean, that helped the church. So, when we come together, revelation is part and parcel of Christian meetings. 1 Corinthians 14, 26. Verse 29 and 30-31, lets us know that the prophets can speak two or three and let someone else judge. And if anything be revealed to another that sits by, let the first hold his peace. So he says that things can be revealed. Things can be revealed. People, places, things, events. So it comes together like that. Facts will be revealed to us to give us direction. Sometimes we come together like this, and sometimes you are sensing something in your spirit. Like I say this, look here, guys. Sometimes you have something in your spirit, you're not sure, you're even taking some steps. You come for a meeting like this through yourself else, and then we just speak out, and we speak specifically into facts and details, and you just know. Ah, well, that's it. That's a clear what I wrongly perceived or have not been clear about. So that also happens, you know, in meetings. That's why the Bible says, prove all things, and then you hold fast to that, you know, which is good. But never for doctrine. never for doctrine. And that's why I fault, you know, certain preachers that I respect who come up and teach us faith and teach us healing and holiness using a vision. It's risky. It's dangerous. Oftentimes, most of those things lead you into error. How do you know the word? You have to study it. You have to read through all the scriptures. That is what will help you. I'll give you a personal experience. Several years ago, I was teaching about worship and praise. I thank the Lord that I read after Reverend Kennedy again, who let us know that clapping is not praise, it's not worship, that there was, brass and gold in worship. So I saw that. But anybody who read the material will know very well that it wasn't doctrinal. It just led you to do something. And I thought, and I went into study, and I found out myself, and I saw it, and I thought, the church, that was some 16 years ago. But along the line, I knew that, Psalm 47 became like a scandal for me. Every time I go to Psalm 47, clap your hands, holy people, I always just said, well, that's just one scripture. That's just one scripture. We can't build on one scripture. But deep down, I knew there was something I should understand about it. So I was in a hurry, to just say that's one scripture because I'd heard that's one scripture. So one day I was walking on the street just thinking, just about the tight corner of my house. And I heard it very loud and clear. Get Darby's Bible. I'd read Darby's translation a year before. This was 96. A year before. But I didn't even have it. But I heard Darby's translation. That was Revelation. So I went to Darby's. I went to look for it. I got it around Oshodi then. The green one. I got it. So I saw it. So I looked at the reference. And so Darby explained it, that the peoples refer to non-Jews. So I went ahead, to check it out in the course reference. And I said, oh, wow. So that was how I was able to explain Psalm 47. Now, I didn't get the understanding by revelation. But I got help as how I should study, by revelation. Well, let's go to this. This is an interesting aspect. Obviously, Paul's study, I am going to see this, involved the gifts of the Spirit. When, for instance, he was taken through the scriptures, certain facts were pointed out to him as having happened. That is the word of knowledge. The understanding of it is not word of knowledge. Paul, this has happened on the third day. That's word of knowledge. That's a fact, a real fact. This is what it means. That's not word of knowledge. That's understanding of the scriptures. Let me see how you understand that. I know you stuff. Take it next week. Alright? So, doctrine, for instance, is what Paul wrote to the church. In 1 Corinthians 12 and 14. You hear, you see, in visions and revelations, I'll close on that. You hear, you see, in visions and revelations, but spiritual growth, you will need to understand. In spiritual growth, you will need to understand. For instance, you know that the facts that Peter saw, the Paul saw, about Jesus, how he rose from the dead, and he saw that this was written in Psalm 110 and Psalm 2, where that's my word of knowledge in study. But you see, the understanding did not come because Peter and Paul quoted from the same scripture. The understanding came on different levels, and that wasn't by the gifts of the Spirit. I boxed myself in the corner. I have to say something next week. I'll try. So, in Acts 27, for instance, you see Paul was helped out. And when we come together, like in our personal lives also, we are helped out. Facts we don't know, you won't know facts of somebody you're going to see tomorrow, a church you're going to minister to, by study of the scriptures. You will know it by revelation. Years back, I want to preach somewhere. And, you know, I was going to teach and minister by the gifts of the Spirit. That's biblical. When you read the Bible, the Bible says you, the kingdom is not in word but in power. But I didn't know certain things. So, I got to know by revelation in a vision, very clear, the auditorium I'm going to use, who I'm going to talk to. I got to know there was going to be a fellow. That fellow will leave the meeting shortly before I was going to start ministering. And I told my friend, and he confirmed what I said. And that helped me to minister. I went to another place like that. And then, I was used to laying hands on people. I used the head a lot. And God spoke to me clearly that I should not lay hands on people's head. You know, I had an instance like that, that I just said, don't leave the pulpit. Ah. You know, it's not anti-doctrine. You won't hear the Bible say, thou shalt leave the pulpit when you are preaching. So I said by the pulpit, it was very uncomfortable for me, and I stood there, I was just preaching. So when the pastor was going to end the meeting, he just said, thank God. It's not like all those prophets I used to tell you about, they'll be jumping all over the congregation. Said, that's me. Because I would have been jumping, really. You know, that really helped the congregation. Imagine if I got there and I stepped out, I was jumping. Can our folks will already be biased? Oh, new generation minister. So when I'm quoting, they just, maybe the man had even said, they'll be quoting. So, but I didn't leave the pulpit. And I blessed them. Praise God.